just to close the walk, page 564.
Let it be. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. That's a closer walk with you.
Closer walk.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Giving honor to Almighty God, my Father. Amen. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, who is here leading and guiding us this morning. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Giving honor to the shepherd of this house, our pastor, Reverend Dwayne Davis. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Giving honor to my wife. Amen. Amen. Maria.
Yes.
Such an honor to.
Yes, God. Thanks.
Stand up here once again.
Yes.
Before we go any further, let us pray.
Thank you, God.
Almighty God, once again, we come before you this morning. Just giving you all the honor and praise that you deserve.
Do, God.
And Lord God, as we go into the sermon this morning, prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word.
Yes.
Lord God, I commit myself to you. In the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit.
Yes, have your way, God.
Would you control my thoughts and my words.
Yes, yes.
And we pray that your word will be received with gladness.
Good.
We thank you this morning, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
I've been excited to preach this word this morning.
All right.
Amen. But nervous all at the same time. Amen. I'm going to take my time, but it won't be too long. That's what preachers always say, right? Well, this morning we're going to be coming from the book of Galatians. Chapter 5.
All right.
Galatians chapter 5. And if you're taking notes this morning, I have a title for you. And that title is, You Talk the Talk, but Can You Walk the Walk?
All right.
All right, now.
Yeah. You talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? So if you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verse 13. Let me get this amen.
Amen.
And the scripture reading starts like this. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Mm-hmm. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Mm-hmm.
But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Mm-hmm. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, mm-hmm. so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Mm-hmm.
But if ye be led of the Spirit,
yeah.
ye are not under the law.
Nah, come on,
now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery,
mm-hmm.
fornication,
yeah.
uncleanliness,
mm-hmm.
lasciviousness, yeah. idolatry,
mm-hmm.
witchcraft, hatred, variance,
mm-hmm.
emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be the serious of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. I'm going to stop there. Amen. Here we have Paul writing to the Galatians, the church at Galatian, and giving them some practical encouragement on how to treat one another. His key message here is walk in the Spirit. And if you're in Sunday school this morning, if you read the lesson was about the Holy Spirit. How Jesus said, I have to go away now. He was telling his disciples that he had to go away, but I will not leave you comfortless.
Yes.
I'm going to send you a comforter. They didn't get it at first. But he told them that a comforter is going to be able to lead and guide you and give you all the comfort you need. He's going to be your teacher. He's going to give you understanding. So even though I have to go away and prepare a place for you, I'm not going to leave you by yourself.
That's right.
So here we have Paul. He's preaching, leading. He's writing a letter and trying to encourage them to walk in the Spirit. And Paul spent a lot of time with this church, and he taught them and he showed them what it means to walk in the Spirit. And now he's encouraging them to continue in that walk. And how important that is to one another. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? This is probably one of the most important questions that needs to be answered for every believer. First, understand this. One, when one accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that believer is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And every believer has the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. But neither of these guarantees that that person will experience all the Spirit's benefits. So we've been baptized into the church by the Holy Ghost. He's available to us. He's in us. But that doesn't mean that you have everything that you're supposed to have in life. Because each person needs to walk in the Spirit. Now, before going any further, let's look back at what Paul did. He gave a contrast. Sometimes to explain what you need to do, you have to start with what you don't need to do. Paul says this. He said, now the works of the flesh. And understand, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. They weren't the Jews who had the law always. These were the Gentiles, like us. We didn't have the law. God came to us and gave us what we needed. So Paul is saying, here's are the things you used to do. We got to get away from that. The adultery, the fornication, the uncleanliness, lasciviousness. Now, notice all these words are hard to pronounce. They're that hard to pronounce, we shouldn't be doing. We got the idolatry and the witchcraft. Now, we're going to have a Bible study on these so you can really understand what they are. I don't have time to go through them this morning. The hatred, the variance, the emulations, the wrath, the strife, seditions, the heresies, envyings, the the murders, the drunkenness, the revelings, and such a like, which means that he has been talking about other things too, but these are the ones he pulled out and mentioned. He said he's told them before, and he told them in time past, and he's going to tell them again, and if you're doing these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul was very fervent in his message. Now, when we were in the past, you know, when we before we became believers, we only knew one way to walk. We had no idea what we needed to do. That walk was a walk unyielded to God. There was no God. Although God was there, we didn't know it. Although he may have been leading certain things in our path, and we were, you know, sometimes we talk about predestination, you know, but God was always there. We just didn't know it.
That's right.
But now we are saved. In the past, you know, we were what they call carnally minded. You know, we were, we knew how to operate in the world. And we knew that if I felt a certain way, this is how I was going to respond. You do this to me, this is how I'm going to respond to that. Everything we did was done of our own will. How we felt, what we wanted.
That's right.
We responded to everyday situations based on how we were taught, how we felt, or from some experience we gained. And most of the time these experiences was we did the wrong thing and now we found out what we shouldn't do. But when we become believers, and Paul is writing to believers, these are Gentiles who have come out from among those things. He said, when we become believers, we become partakers of a new way of living.
Second
Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Some translations have new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new person. You're not the same person anymore. But for some reason, many people are still living lives as carnal-minded individuals. They believe, but they're still living that same life, still responding to life the same way as they used to. Now, yes, we believe, but can anyone tell by your life that you are a believer? We talk the talk, but we're not walking the walk. I have about 3 points here, and one of them is in the form of a question. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Lord, I wish everybody was in Sunday school this morning. We touched on that. Walking in the Spirit means that I, and it's always about you and God alone. It's not about what everybody else is doing. Walking in the Spirit means I trust Jesus to do in me what I cannot do myself. I yield my mind, my body, and my soul completely to God. And it was mentioned this morning, when we talk about mind, we're not talking about your intellect and how you think. We're talking about your heart. A belief that comes from within. Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We have to have the mind of Christ. And that's why he sent us the Comforter, to give us the mind of Christ. Give us the understanding of what Christ did when he was here, what he's doing now, what he's going to do when he comes back. Everything we do, we have to understand why it's being done. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to give us that understanding. Amen?
Amen.
Word of God said this morning that the Holy Spirit will hear on our behalf and then tell us what we need to do. Holy Spirit will hear from the Father. And then he'll tell us what we need to do, which means we heard from the Father. Amen? Jesus said he's not going to say anything that he doesn't hear. He won't tell you anything that he did not hear from God.
That's right.
Yes.
thought that was very powerful. I needed to say that. That was for me this morning also.
Amen.
Anything that comes from the Father is going to filter it through the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I need to understand what the Father's saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jesus told me that he's going to be the one that gives me the understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't just understand this word myself.
Right?
Holy Spirit has to give me that understanding. Amen.
Yes.
How many times have you heard a word from the pulpit and you knew it was true, but you didn't quite get it?
Uh-uh. Right now.
That's because the Holy Spirit needs to give us that understanding. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
But let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. With this mind, I can truly confess, like Jesus did, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
You can only do that if you're walking with the Spirit.
Amen.
Yes.
If you're walking in the Spirit. And another term we may use is being led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Holy Spirit is leading me, guiding me. We sing about it. We talk about it. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. You have yielded yourself over to God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And right now, the Holy Spirit is the representative on the earth. So when we yield to God, we have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Because he is the one that's hearing God and interpreting and giving us the understanding of what needs to be done. Now, what we're talking about here is a life that is completely different from the life I would naturally live of myself. I begin to respond to everyday life based on the leading of the Holy Spirit, not just what I've been taught or how I feel or because I have had an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, if I've been taught the right things, then Jesus said this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. That was mentioned this morning too. Somebody gave a testimony how the Holy Spirit brought back to their remembrance some things that helped another individual. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. When my feelings want me to make one decision, the Holy Spirit shows me a clear way.
Yes.
But yet still comfort me in the process.
Yes.
He doesn't throw away my feelings like we do each other.
Uh-huh.
Oh, just suck it up. No, the Holy Spirit knows how to comfort you, but yet still give you a clear path and be able to allow you to make a clear decision, even though you're distraught.
Even though
you're upset and mad,
you can
still make a clear decision on what to do because the Holy Spirit is with you.
Oh, yes. Lord, thank you.
God doesn't just throw away your feelings. He gave them to you.
Yes.
God knows how you feel. He understands.
Yes, he does.
Jesus has been through everything we've been through.
Yes.
But yet, he still obeyed God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And he said, greater things will do.
Yes.
Because I am now in you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So even though we feel a certain way, even though experience gives us a certain thing, we still can make the right decisions.
Yes.
If you're walking in the Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Now the word says experience is the best teacher, but for a Christian, that is only when the Holy Ghost has led you to that experience.
Come on now, make it plain.
To exercise your obedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
So experience is the best teacher when the Holy Spirit has led you there.
Mm-hmm.
And he always leads you to a place to be obedient.
Yes.
He doesn't just tell you what to do, he gives you the power to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God doesn't tell us and command us to do anything we can't do.
That's true.
He won't lead us to a place and put us in, give us certain experience that we can't handle. You might not think you can handle it.
All right, man.
And in yourself, you really can't.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the truth.
But he never give you more than you can bear.
Yep.
There's always some faith available to you to make it through that thing.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I know personally I've had a lot of failures. And that's because I took myself there and there was no faith for me to make it through it.
Come on now, come on.
I wasn't supposed to be doing that or saying that or going there.
All right.
But where the Spirit has led me and I felt like I couldn't make it through, I made it through because He gave me the power to make it through.
Yes.
That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Each time I face a new demand from the Lord, I look to Him to do in me what He requires of me.
Yes.
I'm no longer trying to do His will, but I'm trusting God to meet His own demands through me.
Oh, yes.
None of us can fulfill the law. Amen?
Amen.
But yet, God still demands a fulfillment of the law.
Yes.
That's why we do all things through Christ.
Yes.
Who has already fulfilled the law.
Yes.
That's why He can demand that we fulfill the law through Christ.
Yeah. Through Him.
Because you can't do it on your own.
That's right.
Never have, never will. Mm. The best the law do for us is to show us how wrong we are.
Yes, indeed.
But I'm trusting God to meet His own demands through me. No longer just talking the talk, but resting in God through Jesus Christ to walk the walk. Mm. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Easier said than done, but a lot easier than you would think. Mm-hmm. Now, my second point here is, don't give in to the temptation to go back to your old ways. Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Remember, if we that believe are new creatures, we also understand that there's always temptation trying to bring us back and get us to act outside of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
James says this in chapter 1, verse 14. Every man. Not some of us.
Every
so you're
man.
Not excluded.
Yes.
And when he's saying man, he's talking about mankind. Mm-hmm. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So what's wrong with you may not affect me. Mm-hmm. That's your temptation.
Yes.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Yes.
When he is tried. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God, thank you.
The Bible says when you are tried and you don't give in, it perfects you.
Yes.
Now, I want to give you an illustration here. Bear with me. Now, here's a story about the war between China and Japan. There was a war. They've had many wars. This is the one particular war. China lost a great many tanks and was not able to deal with the Japanese armor. So during this time of the war, it was tanks against foot soldiers. But China devised a scheme. A single shot would be fired at the Japanese tank by a Chinese sniper in ambush. After a considerable amount of time had lapsed, the first shot was followed by a second. And then after further silence by another shot. And this was done until the tank driver, he was so eager. That's that lust that build up. He had a desire to locate the source of the shot. He couldn't stand it. So he would pop his head out just to get a peek around to see if he could figure out where the shot was coming from. See what lust will do, you won't think rationally. You're going to pop your head out of the tank. With a sniper on the loose. Well, you can guess where the next shot went. Amen. As long as he remained under the cover of the tank, he was perfectly safe.
Yes.
The whole scheme was to devise to bring him out into the open.
Yes.
And just the same way Satan's temptations are not designed primarily to make us do something particularly sinful, but merely to cause us to act in our own energy.
Come on now. Yeah. Yes.
To act outside of God. As soon as we step outside the leading of the Holy Spirit to do something of our own, he has gained a foothold. Pow!
Yes.
But if we don't move, if we stay in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, no matter how much we want to go and do our own thing, even the enemy came, Satan came to Jesus, tempting him, wanting him to do some things outside of the will of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're hungry, why don't you take these stones and make some bread? But that's not what God was leading them to do. Not necessarily a bad thing, but it was bad because it wasn't what the Father wanted.
That's right.
And that's all Satan wants us to do. If he can get you to act outside of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're waiting on some demon to come and do something real big. These are the little things
that
Satan does. If I can just persuade him. To act outside of God. That's all it needs.
Yeah. God say.
What am I killing for? Because if I can get him to act outside of God, he'll affect somebody else. Yeah. Somebody else.
All right. There you go.
I'm going to leave him there.
Yeah.
This is how the church got all messed up.
Yes.
But if we don't move, if we do not come out of the cup of Christ into the realm of the flesh, then he cannot get us. So not giving in to temptation is, in effect, our refusal to come out of the cover of the Holy Spirit and act of ourselves. Word of God says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. You want to stay out of condemnation, then continue to walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
This means the Holy Spirit is free to do his work in us and deal with our flesh. So that in fact, we do not do what we naturally would do. We don't do what we feel like doing. We don't do what we used to do in the past. You say something to me, I'm going to tell y'all. See, the Holy Spirit will allow me to give somebody my shirt when they stole my coat now. It's going to take the Holy Ghost if I get slapped in the face and give another cheek. Amen. But this is what we're called to do. Instead of acting our own plan, we find satisfaction in his perfect plan. Hence the command is a positive one. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Everyday situations are trying to draw us out. When we leave this building this morning, we may encounter something that's trying to get us to act outside of God. It may not necessarily be a bad thing. It's just not what God is calling you to do. My third point, how do you know when you're walking in the Spirit?
How do you know?
And I wrote down a subtitle to that because I got this out of the Sunday school. The Holy Spirit will take the focus off of me. So there's always three parties involved. There's God.
God.
There's people.
People.
And then there's you.
You.
Now, the two greatest commandments say, love God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not in there anywhere. So I have to take me out of the situation. And if I do that, I'm focusing on God and you.
That's all right.
Now, if you do the same thing, then I'm taken care of. If we do that to each other, we're all taken care of. Amen. Now Galatians 5:22-25 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice love is the first one.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace. Mm-hmm. Long-suffering. Notice yes. They all easy to pronounce too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gentleness, goodness, faith,
uh-huh.
Meekness, temperance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a whole lot of them, is it? God don't need a lot to take care of his business. Mm-hmm. Against such there is no law.
No law.
So you're above. You want to go. We always talk about being above the law. You want to go above the law? Do these things.
Yeah.
Start loving somebody and you'll be above the law.
Yeah.
Everybody want to be above the law the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how you be above the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts.
Mm-hmm.
And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
It's important to remember that Jesus said this. Abide in me
uh-huh.
and I in you.
Mm-hmm.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the what? The vine.
The vine. That's right.
No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches.
Oh, yes.
He that abideth in me and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Much fruit.
It didn't say fruits, it says much
fruit.
Much
fruit.
Yeah.
For without me, you can do nothing.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
You'll
absolutely.
Do much love and much faith and much
yes.
meekness and much
yes.
temperance.
Yes.
Not just a little bit, but a whole lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all that love and all that faith and all that meekness will be for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Not just for you. You'll be bestowing all that on me.
Yes.
And if I do the same thing, all the love I have and all the faith
yes.
and meekness and
yes.
joy I have will be for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how we should treat one another.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fruit abides in the vine and the life of the vine flows through it.
Yes.
The fruit is automatically produced
yes.
on the branch. Who the branches? We the branches.
Yes,
yes, we are.
Amen. Amen. If the branches are stuck to the vine, the fruit automatically shows up.
Yes.
So if you're walking in the Spirit, the fruit is automatically going to show up. You don't have to try to do it.
That's right. That's right.
It's already going to be there.
Right.
You don't have to tell an apple tree to make apples. It just
right.
does it.
Yes.
Come on.
When the seasons are right and the times are right and everything's perfect, it'll make some apples.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
You don't know how many it's going to make, but it's usually a lot of them.
Yep.
Yes.
Never seen an apple tree with one apple, have you?
No, indeed.
I've never seen an apple tree. I've never seen a pear tree with one apple, one pear, one lemon.
Yep.
You ever seen a grapevine with one grape? I've never. They may
clusters.
Not have a lot of grapes, but it's still
clusters.
More than one.
Yep.
Yes. Clusters.
Yep.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence of one's salvation. You don't have to prove yourself.
Uh-huh.
Just
yeah,
walk in the Spirit and he'll prove it.
Yes.
That you are who you say you are.
Mm-hmm.
He'll prove that you can walk the walk and not
yeah.
just talk the talk.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm not going to go through each and every piece of fruit that is given here, but I just want to talk about one that illustrates how we walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
Listen to this. Listen to your story. It was the last night of vacation Bible school. I'm almost done here. The teacher of the youth classes had missed one night.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And there was a little boy there that she had never encountered
mm-hmm.
who had come on that last Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Now, this little boy only had one hand.
Okay. Mm.
And the teacher kind of shook her up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is her first time seeing the little boy. And she began to be afraid that maybe the other kids would pick on him and say
mm-hmm.
something. You know, and make fun of them.
Yes.
And so over the time of the vacation Bible school, she got distracted.
Yes.
And at the end, they had a little closing program, you know how we do, and she forgot about this little boy. And she led the children on the stage and had them all on the stage. And she told them, now let's all build our churches. Mm. Let's put your hands together. Here is the church. Mm. And here is the steeple. We all know the, how this go. Then suddenly she remembered. She was aware that she was just aware of what she had done. She realized that the little boy couldn't build a church. Because he only had one hand. So after a little awkward moment of silence, one of the little girls who was sitting next to him came up to him and took her hand and held it up. She said, here, let's build a church together.
Yes. Right. Yes.
What the little girl did shows us how we know we are walking in the Spirit. We demonstrate our love for one another.
Yes.
Christian love is when one believer reaches out to another believer to build Christ's church.
Yes. Love is.
How will God know that you love me is how you love one another.
That's right.
That's how the world gonna know.
Yes.
That we love the Father, that we are walking in the Spirit, that we are yielded, that we are committed.
Yes.
That we not just talking the talk, but how they gonna know we walking the walk by how we love one another. God calls us to be devoted to one another, to honor one another above ourselves. How do you know when you're walking in the Spirit? We show it by how we love one another. Now, you can talk the talk and walk the walk.
Yes.
That is.
So, the fruit of the Spirit. We heard, read this morning, the scripture was 1 Corinthians 13, and it was talking about love.
Love.
Above all things, love.
Yes.
Love is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Everything that we do means nothing without some love. Amen.
There you go.
That's right.
True.
As a husband, I hear sometimes that I have to show my love.
All right.
I thought about that when I was writing this. Okay, my wife might have a field day with this one. But it's true.
Show it.
How does the pastor know I love him?
Show it.
I have to show him. There's going to be a situation when I'm going to have to show my love.
Yes.
I think he know I love him, but one day I'm going to have to show the man.
Yes.
One day there's going to come a situation I'm going to have to step up and do something.
Yes, come on now.
Amen?
Yes.
But this is how we walk the walk. This is how you know you're walking in the Spirit. How we love God and how we love one another.
Yes.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we just truly thank you this morning.
Thank you,
God. Oh God, we just bless your holy name. Once again, just showing us ourselves.
Yes.
Show where we fall short. And not only showing us, Lord, you're giving us grace and mercy because of it. We recognize that you have sent your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and show us all things. Lord God, this morning we yield to him. And we look to him for understanding of what you would have us to do. Oh God, we just thank you this morning.
Thank you, Father.
Everything we do is to please you.
Yes.
Here.
Everything we do is to look more and more like our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Everything we do.
Yes.
We just thank you this morning. Oh God, bless this church.
Yes.
Lord God, you have brought us to the seventh year. And we know it was only by your spirit that we are here. Now give us understanding on what needs to be done during this time.
Yes, sir, God.
Reveal those things to us as we submit to your spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you,
I'll pay the price.
but we've been in prayer today. We will surround you and we will embrace you. Is there one?
We just thank God for a challenging word.
Yes.
Walking in the spirit. And, keeping your wits about you is the way I like to say it.
Yes.
Walk in the spirit. Because if you walk in the spirit, you don't have to worry about failing. You don't have to worry about the trials and tribulation. If you just stay right there where God had you, then you can go on. You can face whatever God, whatever situation God puts you in, He'll be there to fight your battle. Yeah. So I just thank Minister Riley for that challenging message.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
So without further ado, we ask Sister Monica to give us the doxology. If you would all stand, ask Minister Riley to come back to you with the benediction.
Yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.